This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. It is still cool for you to make your own website. It is not cool for you to pay too much or hire a bunch of people to do it. Instead, go to squarespace.com and get all the tools and templates you need and save 10% on your account when you check out with the code MORNING. At squarespace.com, build it beautiful.
Tadpole, you're our hero.
We love you, Tadpole.
Coming up in TMS, finding Dory is a good idea.
You got your Wonka on my willy.
Sad news for Trek.
Warcraft set a record.
That seems a little over the top, lady.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Who's the best cat in the United States? It's you, Champa Damper. It's you.
Donald Trump will peel her skin off.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Monday, the 20th of June, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Nibbett.
Hello.
Hey, man. What's going on? Happy Father's Day, day late. Well, I told you over text,
yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, you did. We chatted with each other. Wished each other a happy Father's Day.
We had our private moment yesterday over the phone. And did you do anything fun for Father's Day? Or did they give you anything cool?
I did. Went for a bike ride while Tristan slept. And then went out to breakfast while Tristan slept. Mm. Went visited Tina's dad while Tristan slept. And then...
wow.
Did some freelance. Tristan got up, went to work, and then Tina and I went out for a very nice dinner while Tristan worked.
So while Tristan slept and worked, best Father's Day ever.
And then he came in. He gave me a card, and then he came in while I was just falling asleep about 11:30 midnight last night after a raid, and said, "Hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. Can't wait to work on the arcade machine with you." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, good night." Oh, kids.
Wow. The father part. That's the, you know, it's his, on him. He's the one that should be celebrating the Father's Day, right? Because you're his dad.
Right.
Like, I always make a big deal about this. Like, it's not on, you know, Kim shouldn't be going crazy on Father's Day. My kids should be. They should be the ones
Completely agree. I think that Kim is... just as much the reason that you're a father as those kids are.
Oh, yeah.
So celebration with Kim is, you know.
Yeah, she pushed him out.
That's right. Tina and I look at Mother's Day and Father's Day like it's best if all three of us can do stuff together, but any one of us not being there, you know, it shouldn't just be me and Tristan and no Tina. It shouldn't just be me and, you know, Tristan and Tina and without me on Mother's Day.
Sure.
It should be all three of us, but Tristan is, you know, a teenager who works until midnight or 1 a.m.
He's a sleepy boy.
He's a teenager. It's totally fine.
Totally fine. Nick's doing the same thing. Actually, he has had to force himself to get up early every day since school ended because he's doing another 3D modeling camp at the U.
Oh, cool.
And which may lead to a job there, which is super exciting. But he has had to, like, not have any summer yet. Like, his definition of summer is sleep till noon and then do whatever he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Not so
right.
far. So far, nope. You kind of got to get up early, buddy.
Good. That's the way it should be. I think you should get to sleep in a little bit on summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I remember regretting so much, like, getting up at, like, noon or 11 or something and feeling like half my day was gone over the summer.
Yeah, right? I look back on that. I don't think fondly on any of my lazy teenage years. I think I would have gotten a ton more done, would have been much further ahead if I just would have said, you know, I should get up.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't even to bed that late sometimes. It'd be like, oh, okay, 11 o'clock, hanging out with my friends, everybody goes home, I go to sleep.
Right.
I still should have got up at like, even if it was like 10.
Yeah.
Or 9. Yeah. Instead of like suddenly it's 1 o'clock. I'm like, I need to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. Your day is going by and
I'm going to die if I don't eat.
Summer's about getting to do, you know, whatever you want outside and playing video games all day and hitting the pool with your friends or going to the mall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sleep through it, you might miss it.
You might.
As Ferris Bueller would say.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah. That was Ferris Bueller.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, the 35-year anniversary of Ferris Bueller, maybe we never forget. So we saw Finding Dory over the weekend to celebrate Father's Day. The kids decided that would be a fun thing to do, so we did. And so this is like, what, 16 years, whatever it is, after Finding Nemo? It's been a while.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, wow. 2003 was Finding Nemo.
Jeez.
Because it was like even a year before The Incredibles, which everyone sees as sort of the high, at least I see it as the high point of my favorite Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a while, and they got the whole crew back together, including the director and, you know, all the principal actors and everybody. And it is wonderful.
Good.
I cannot say enough
good things about it.
Can't say enough good things about it myself. It's getting killer reviews, I think, for a great reason. I haven't talked to anybody who, if you have a stone cold black heart like Daryl Scales, you might not like it. Okay. Maybe then you won't like it.
Oh, great. Another Disney character who gets lost and has to make a big journey to get back home like every other Disney movie.
That
sounded more like, I don't know who that sounded like. That? It wasn't Daryl.
Who was that though?
I don't know. I don't, sometimes these voices pass through me. I can't control them, Scott.
Like, why you gotta go that far?
It's the dead speaking through me.
Well, nonetheless, and notwithstanding, it was really good, and I'm so happy when a Pixar sequel works out really great. I've still never seen Cars 2, so I'm not going to say anything about Cars 2. I don't know. Everyone says it was terrible. I know lots of kids who love it.
It's funny that that one came up because George and I were walking through Comic-Con, and we saw somebody dressed as Dory, and it was like, oh, that looks really cool. And then I told George, I said, I've been hearing really good things about Finding Dory. And he says, you know, there's no such thing as a bad Pixar movie. And I said, Cars 2.
Yeah, see, I never saw it, so I don't know. I shouldn't judge.
I didn't see it either, so really I can't say anything, but...
It's what everyone says. Everyone says. Cars 2 is a piece of poo.
Oh, it even rhymes. That's what everyone says.
Cars 2 is a piece of poo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Love don't fit. Cars 2 is a piece of poo.
I really liked both their movies last year, and I really liked this, and I think people should go. And I'll just give you one tiny thing, Brian, that made it even extra spatial.
Give me one tiny thing, Scott.
Sigourney Weaver is in it.
Oh, really?
In a way that you don't expect and will utterly fall in love with.
Oh, is there an alien under the sea?
There is definitely not an alien under the sea. No, it's... Well, there kind of is in the beginning. There's some pretty creepy thing.
Is there an exoskeleton from Avatar under the sea that she's helping to control?
Hey, I didn't know that new... So that alien prequel thing that Ridley Scott's making?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know they were just going to continue on from Prometheus. Yeah, I had no idea. They're having Fassbender's all up in it as the robot guy again. Hmm. So that'll be good, I guess. I don't know. He was the best thing in that movie.
He was the best thing in that movie. And maybe it'll, you know, I think, what am I trying to say here? Alien 3 is really good. And I think it's even better by the movies that surround it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if it were a standalone movie, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be as good. And maybe a sequel to Prometheus will help lift Prometheus up.
Maybe.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that's possible. Also, three is better in retrospect. Like at the time, everybody was so pissed about the
right.
deaths and how it led into it and then kind of where it ended. But if you look at it now, out of the hype circle, it's pretty good. It's a pretty damn good movie. And besides, Prison Planet, Brian.
Yeah.
That's a badass setting for anything.
Prison Planet. We need more themed planet movies.
More themed planets. More Prison Planet specifically. I'm into that.
Right.
I need more movies about somebody escaping from a prison planet or a prison planet.
A prison planet.
You know, the prison the planet. I can't talk. all right. Well, that's cool. Anyway, everyone should go see it. And I want to wish a happy birthday out to a fan. So he's not expecting this. His wife put us up to this. I was more than happy to comply. We have a fan out there that I guess loves the show. And it's his birthday today. And she really wanted him to have his name said. So I am a sucker for this. And I said yes. And so here it is. Nathan Patrick, you have two first names and it's your birthday.
Celebrate with both of your names.
Happy birthday. Now, it may actually be Tuesday. If I screwed up the times, I apologize. But he'll hear this either way, and 24 hours is not that big a deal. So if it's Tuesday, happy advanced birthday. If it's today, well, then I got it right, and who the hell, why do I even have to explain it?
Nathan Patrick, why don't you bake yourself a birthday cake and enjoy it?
Birthday cake. Happy birthday, dude. Oh, wait, you know what? Let's celebrate with some music. I got a little tune here for him. Here you go. Happy birthday
of the day.
Happy birthday, Nathan. May you ever have two first names in your entire life. All right.
I think you will.
So you went to Denver Comic Con as a Reaper. I saw pictures. There's proof.
Yes, there is proof. There's proof out there. And it made it even more special and rare, the fact that I did not last long in that costume. So went Friday and had a gorilla mask. I was one of the Nairobi trio. That was a very brief costume because I had to walk a long way from where I parked to the convention center. Right. And I decided, well, I'll just put my mask on and my jacket over here by the car and walk to the Comic-Con dressed like this. Holy crap. When you're dealing with the summer heat that we've got right now, it's insanity. And you get there and you're just drenched with sweat. Ugh. So, ran into the bathroom, basically saw a few people, but my uncle recognized who I was immediately, as I expected he would. And then I went to the bathroom, took the mask off and said, okay, screw this. I'm gonna walk around without the mask today. The next day with Reaper, I decided two things to improve the situation. Number one, I parked at the convention center. I paid extra and parked at the convention center.
All right. How much do they gouge you for that? Just curious. What's the,
It's cool. If I parked in the lot that they were directing me to, $20.
Oh,
I parked at this lot that is adjoined at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. So I had just a little walkway across, and that was only $13.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty
good. Totally worth it for full day parking.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. So decided I would take my my Reaper cosplay in a backpack and...
like you do.
Like you do, and then change at the con.
Mm-hmm. You have your own stink bag now. That's great.
I do have my own stink bag. Mm. And so here's the deal. So the costume is made up of a couple guns, a mask, a hood, a big leather overcoat, gloves, and that's it. And the guns were these Nerf guns that, and I don't have his name in front of me, but a TMS listener said, oh, yeah, if you're going to be doing, it was the guy we saw in Salt Lake at the Warcraft movie, who also had the Reaper mask going.
Oh, that guy. Right. We got pictures with him. That's right.
Yep. And he told me to go pick up these specific Nerf guns that are shaped just like the shotguns that Reaper uses. And just with a little bit of paint and a little bit of 3D work and some fill in and stuff like that, it would look just like Reaper. Well, I didn't have time. I picked him up Friday night on the way home from Comic-Con because I'd forgotten. And so I spray painted him, but I didn't do any fill-in work or 3D additions or anything like that.
They looked good, all right, though. I saw pictures.
They looked great. They came out great. And here's the thing. When you take guns to Comic-Con, you've got to carry them in a container. Yep. So I had them in my backpack. Yep. They stuck out of the top. There's no way to fit them in. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go right to the weapon check booth where they sit there and examine the weapon, make sure that, number one, it's not like a real weapon that you've disguised as a fake weapon with a little orange tip or something.
Right. They don't even want you to have like projectiles that can come out of those things.
Right. Yeah. Nerf. So if it's a Nerf gun, and they even have this in the rules, if it's a Nerf gun, you can't have any projectiles, even if they're the little soft tip darts, whatever. Nope. And you've got to have about a thumb width of an orange tip on the end. So when I spray painted it, I made sure to kind of leave the tip of it orange. And the great thing is that the tip of this Nerf gun is orange already. So I didn't have to paint it or anything. Mm-hmm. So he's checking, he's doing the pump action deal, making sure that, you know, there's nothing in there. And he says, all right, this looks great. By the way, who are you going as? And I said, oh, I'm dressing as Reaper from Overwatch. And the guy behind me says, I knew it. I saw those guns and I thought for sure you're going to be Reaper.
Sweet.
So he totally was into it. And then they put a little zip line or zip tie around the trigger so that even if you have ammunition in your bag, you can't load it in this thing.
Really?
You would not be able to fire it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's
they
really
render
hardcore.
It inoperable is their terminology.
Wow. We really go far to make sure that fake guns don't work.
It's all right. You know what? Hey, if this is what keeps us all safe as a society, then I'm fine with that.
Yes. In light of recent events, that is definitely a thing that we could say about.
Right.
Anyway.
So I go in the bathroom. I put on the, I didn't mention under all this is a balaclava. Like, you know, those morph suits that people wear that your whole body is green. And basically,
oh, yeah. Nick has one. It's like a big checkerboard one he wears. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
So I have, they make them just for your head. So you can actually just have a morph head suit. Mm-hmm. Doesn't cover your whole body, which is perfect because when you're dressing as Reaper, you don't want to see eyes and a mouth behind that skull mask.
Sure.
So I put that on. I put on the mask, put on the hood, put on the leather jacket, put on the gloves, grabbed the guns, walked back out into the cosplay thing. And people are like, oh my God, Reaper, let me take a picture with you. And I'd pose for a lot of pictures. Now, here's a couple things. Number one, that balaclava, that mask,
yeah.
The cloth mask, probably cuts my vision down about 50%.
Oh, wow. Because you have to... I thought they were, well, I guess it would at least darken it, because even though it's a thin mesh, it's right up next to your eye, you're still having to,
right?
Yeah, you know.
And it's dark, and not only that, but it's also like pressing against your eyelids. So if you blink, and you're gonna blink, you gotta blink. It's like to like lift your eyelids back up again.
Yeah, plus it's drying them out, right?
Right.
And
right.
You're even if you blink 182 times.
Oh,
get it,
clever.
Everybody.
That 182.
That was pretty clever right there, that blink 182 joke I made. Anyway, keep going.
So the mask itself, because I didn't adjust the 3D print and I just said, oh, screw it, let's go ahead and print the whole thing, is for someone with a narrower face than mine. I think there was a kid that put this one together and put it online that I downloaded and printed. So it actually cuts into my face a little bit, which means the eye holes are probably a good 2-3 inches in front of my actual eyes. Mm. So I'm looking at things through like a ViewMaster lens, basically. Tina's having to kind of walk in front of me to kind of make sure that I don't trip on wires or steps or things like that. And when if I look down or move my head, sometimes the mask will slide down. Even though I've got it pretty well affixed to my head, sometimes it'll slide down. I kind of have to adjust it. Mm. So for a lot of these photos that people took with me, I can't see who's taking the picture. And I see maybe a pair of feet. And so I just, you know, do the Reaper thing with the guns and look towards the feet.
That's awesome, dude.
No, like, peripheral vision.
Doesn't it give you a fresh appreciation for some of the more complicated cosplays?
Oh, it absolutely does. I was looking at some of these other costumes and things that people had. Some guy had a really awesome samurai Iron Man outfit. And
that's cool.
He had the lights, you know, basically had the little eye slits that Iron Man has with lights in them so that they glow. Mm. And I couldn't understand how he could even see out of that thing. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's super cool. I wonder if he had, a lot of people have like little, if they've got helmets like that, they'll put little screens in there and have a camera.
Oh, really?
Out there, wow. That's actually their view thing, which seems crazy to me.
It does.
In a public
place
like that.
A little smartphone screen and a...
Well, that's good. It sounds like it was a successful time.
It was a blast.
Time. Yeah.
I lasted about an hour in that costume just because of the the breathing, you know, the hot breathing and stuff. And I basically sogified that balaclava.
So wait, was the rest of the event just you in like the jacket and no helmet? Or
just me walking around.
Oh, okay.
I took another pair of clothes, which is good because then one of the things I did there was go and get a body scan. So there's this company called Works 3D. And I'm going to see if I can get these guys to come to Nerdtacular 2017 because I think it would be so much fun. Mm. But basically what they do is they have a rotating wheel inside a booth and it's hooked up to what looks like a Kinect camera and a computer. And it spins you slowly around on this thing and scans your body. And so you get like this miniature model of your body that you can, they'll 3D print for you, or they'll do like a resin statue for you with color using, you know, like full color from whatever you were wearing.
Wow.
Really amazing stuff. So I said, well, I don't want the 3D print. I don't want the resin statue, but I would like a high detailed body scan for myself so that I can 3D print
it. You'd like the model so you can dink with it, do whatever you want with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So worked out a deal and I got and stepped in the scanner and I'm spinning around slowly. And the booth is done in a way where there's these cloth panels that come down. So it's very, very mobile. This guy can probably fit it in a suitcase. Mm. And every time I get to one side, there's a little crack between the panels where I can actually see the computer screen.
Yeah.
And I'd come around and all right, you know, you see yourself in the mirror a lot.
Oh man,
you know,
every ugly morning I see myself in the
mirror. Right? Yeah. And you kind of have a basic idea of what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you that that kind of goes out the window when you're looking at yourself with a non-colorized solid shape. Here is what your body looks like. Image of yourself.
I imagine that that is a little,
I'm going to be 3D printing myself and sticking one of me to the refrigerator. I'm going to stick another one of me to the treadmill.
That's amazing. Just put a little 3D Brian everywhere.
A little motivation that I need. Of course I did the, had to do the Ibbot bomb face.
So do they give you like a little USB stick, or how'd you get the file? Like, when do they?
He's emailing it to me into a Dropbox. I don't know how big it's going to be, but
that's super cool.
Yeah. So.
All right. Yeah. Maybe.
So who knows? Maybe a little Brian Ibbot is going to be available in some of the higher level Patreon.
Well, coming up. A little Brian Ibbot goes a long way.
It does. Yes.
Will say, since you talked to him a minute ago about plastic guns, mm-hmm. I have one final thing to say.
Yeah.
About that. Is it weird? I'm just going to say the question, and then I'm not going to comment on it or even express my opinion. I just want people to write in, okay? This might be a little controversial.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Why is it that in about 7 to 12 minutes, I can go buy an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, mm-hmm. but I can't buy lawn darts in this country? think about that for a second. Lawn darts are outlawed.
They should be.
They are. You can't buy a set of lawn darts in America. I don't know about the rest of the world. In America, legally, because they were made illegal in the 80s because lawn darts hurt a few people. I just think it's weird that I can't get those, but I can go buy a gun that can shoot a bunch of people. I think that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
And I'm pro gun rights to some extent.
Yeah.
But that's freaking weird. All right, Brian, you were going to say one more thing about a Twitter dude.
Oh, well, I was also going to say one more thing, too, about Raid last night.
Oh, Raid,
We did the PTR. Mm. And all right, I'm loving Outlaw Rogue. There's a couple things that I don't have anymore. I don't have Shadow Step, so I can't, poof and appear right behind somebody to do a little stabby behind. And I don't have recuperation anymore, so I can't heal myself, which is a big drag. But there's a new ability I have called Rolling the Bones.
Oh, I heard about this.
And it is, for a craps player like me, this is great. So what happens is basically you're rolling some dice and randomly getting abilities based on that dice. So one of them might be a healing ability. One of them might be extra attack percentage or whatever. I mean, it's beneficial. It's always a beneficial roll. But the animation for this is amazing. Mm. It's six ginormous boxes that appear around my rogue. And each face on each box is a different symbol. And when multiple of those faces match, they glow and they kind of float above.
No way. Does everyone see it or just you?
Everybody sees it. So the first time you use this thing, people are like, "What are those boxes coming from?" Wow. And, it's right up there for me with slice and dice. So I might use it several times during a fight. Yeah. And holy crap, it's such a great animation.
Well, that makes me excited to hear that. I haven't looked at any of the Rogue stuff on the PTR or anything to do with the upcoming expansion, so I'm happy to
hear that. It's so cool. Yeah, I didn't want to look at anything else because I don't want to be spoiled, but holy crap, I'm going to have to figure out. I'm going to have to relearn how to be a Rogue, which I don't think I'd learned properly in the first place.
Well, now maybe finally your time has come. This thing will click with you and you'll be all set and you won't be facing the ground as much as you usually do.
Well, we'll see about that. But one last thing I want to say, and I'm not going to call anybody out. I can use any specific names, but when you're talking to us on Twitter, and people will constantly hear something that we say, and they'll either send us an email. People are probably writing emails right now.
Yeah, I fully expect that. Yes.
Yep. Or they'll send us a tweet, and 99.9% of the time, people are really respectful, and they'll say, "Oh, hey, we love the show, but you're actually wrong about this actor, or about this movie, or about this." This thing that you said, and they're usually really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, like me, when people write a tweet, they treat it like, "Hey, this is something that I would say to you this way, face to face."
Yeah, you and I in the same room.
Exactly. However, there are people out there who decide they're going to use all caps and snarky, condescending, disrespectful things. And you know what? I'm going to call you out. If you do that, I'm going to respond to you publicly and say, "Really? That's really how you want to address me? Fine."
Really? Yeah. I didn't. You rarely get trolls of this nature.
I rarely get trolls. So when I get a troll, I'm not going to just sit there and say, "Well, that wasn't very nice." I'm going to say, Really? You'd say that to me? Like, if we were face-to-face, that is exactly how you would phrase that correction.
Yeah, I always like to do that, and I always like to say, hey, let's get together. Let's at least have a Skype call, and they usually get scared, and I never hear from them again.
Oh, see, I don't want to have a Skype call with this guy.
They never will. They won't do it. They'll say they'll act like they think that they would say this to your face, but when you really give them an opportunity to, and they realize you're serious, they always leave, if they're that kind of troll.
Right.
Usually, if they're just having a bad day, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, my tweet was lame, I'm sorry. You know, they'll tell you that.
Right.
On Twitter, but every day between Brian and I and the rest of this fine community, we're making the internet a better place.
That's right.
All right.
Do you want to know? So, you know, all those controversial subjects that we may have talked about last week.
Yeah.
I'm sure we talked about, I don't know if we talked about the alligator or the, you know, but there's nothing really controversial about Orlando. Everybody agrees that it was horrible and terrible, but I'm sure we said some pretty controversial things last week.
I heard from a couple of people who I don't ever want to hear from again. But
oh, geez. You know, okay.
There's always somebody who's got other ideas. But
anyway. Great.
Yeah.
No, we don't need them. Hmm. But you want to know what triggered, you know, somebody sending a an all caps tweet to me?
What was
or
that?
Partially all caps tweet? My suggestion that when you name a dog, you give them a two syllable name so that you can do the to call them back into the house. That apparently was the straw that made this person feel like they had to be all caps.
That's amazing.
Not saying any names.
No,
but,
no. We're not here to drag any names through the dirt.
Exactly.
But.
So, woo, controversy. Okay. Okay. I hope that person's feeling better now.
I've heard a few. Actually, we got a few emails, people saying, I don't think you have to do that, but there's it's easier to get them going with their name quicker or something.
Right.
And so... all that's fine. Anybody wants to write in and go, hey, you guys might be a little off on this.
Right.
All we're asking for is like normal human sort of interaction, rational thinking.
Exactly. Talk to us like you would talk to us if we were sitting there having a burger with you at Crave.
Yeah.
Or having a beer with you at the Stout Social Club or something like that. By the way, I got to really quickly say a shout out to Lantronics Gary. I don't know if you know this, but Gary works for Lantronics.
Oh, Gary that works for Lantronics. You may not know him, but he works at Lantronics. Yeah, I know the guy.
Had a lovely lunch with him on Saturday.
Oh, lovely.
A pre-con, pre-costume wedge salad and cider with the Senior Geek.
Did you get the early bird special?
We got there at 11 o'clock, so it pretty much was dinner time.
It's my bedtime. It's only 5. I know. All right. Just kidding there, Land Geek. We know.
We love you, Gary.
We do love you. All right. 801-895-4724 is the number to call in if you would like to take part in today's Stump Daryl. We're going to do that here in a second, but you have to call.
Oh, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, well, screw it. Bye, Daryl. See you later. You have something else to be grumpy about.
Sorry.
801-895-4724 is the number. Most of you know it. And the first guy we get, we will add you to the call. Excuse me, and we'll let you try to help us stump Daryl. Oh, the video has changed. What's this?
Oh, really?
Okay, let's find out if this works.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's
Hi.
This?
Hi, this is Amanda from Canada.
Amanda from Canada. Commanda.
Amanda, that's what they call me here, yeah.
All right.
Amanda the Commanda.
Well, Amanda, it's a fantastic notion that you're even here. We're just thrilled to have you.
Yeah.
What part of Canada? Tell us what part you're in up there.
I'm in Toronto.
Ah, Toronto, home of lots of conventions, like business conventions happen in Toronto a lot, and the
Big
Blue Jays.
Big old CN Tower and
you
got the Star, I believe.
Yeah. You got
the Toronto Sun.
Yeah.
And the Toronto Sun.
That's right. Yes. Brian always knows these papers.
I did installations at the Sun. I did not install at the Star.
You guys, you say sorry a lot. Your money's got holes in it. What else is going on up there? That's it. Oh, you have bowls of like French fries covered in gravy. That's the thing you do.
Well, and cheese curds.
Cheese curds sounds so good right now.
mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, it's good to have you here, Amanda. We're going to play a little game with you. And Brian's going to explain how it works. Brian?
Well, Amanda, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question in a moment or two. And what we want you to do is predict, based on only the information of just the category of the question, we want you to predict whether or not Daryl's going to get that question right or wrong. If you are correct, then you can win a prize package that could actually have something in it that I think, did we give away?
Yeah, we gave away the two games I had last time. Okay. I think it's your turn.
So I've got a game that I'm going to be pulling up the information for because I was completely prepared for this.
We usually think of these things ahead of time.
We completely do. Oh my gosh. Why is this? Sorry.
It's all from it's the seat of our pants here. If you don't, I can get one quick if you need one. Do you need me?
No, I just need to pull up. There we go. Recent. Usually all I have to do is type text edit mm-hmm. and to do the spotlight open thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it'll open the last file I had open in text edit, which is the list of Steam games. Now I've done it, and now it's open. And you can win today a copy of Deus Ex. Deus Ex Human Revolution, the Director's Cut.
Oh, that's a good game. Ooh. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a great prelude to the. They got a new one coming out later this fall, and that is the Director's Cut especially is really, really, really good.
Cool.
So play that or give it to someone you love. Brian, what's your topic? What's the topic today?
The topic today is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
A New Pope. Hope.
A New Hope.
So what do you think? You think you'll get it right or wrong? He's a bit of a fan, but I don't want to curve you. I don't want to steer you in the wrong direction. So you get
he is the Star Trek nerd, not the Star Wars nerd. Mm-hmm. But
exactly. Yeah, I don't know. And I feel like there's just more odds if that he's going to get it wrong. So I'm going to go with wrong.
All right, that's okay. That doesn't mean anything about Daryl or his quality of character. It's totally fine. All right, we're going to add him.
We know you don't hate Daryl.
No.
I love Daryl.
No, he's the best. All right, so we're going to add him here.
All right.
Let's see. I think it's under Grumpiest Man Alive. There it is. Got it. Adding him now.
Unless he's already on the line. Daryl, you're already there.
Yeah, you're already there with some kind of magical phone call technology I wasn't aware I had. All right, here is the theme, and off we go.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Stump Daryl and is brought to you by...
This segment of TMS is brought to you by Summer. Yes, Summer. Once again, voted one of the top four seasons. Available now right outside your door. Go out and enjoy.
Yes, that's from a fan who just wanted to remind us that summer's rad. And it is. It's going to be 98 degrees today. I already ran with the dog once. I'm going to do it again later by myself. I'm going to be a sweaty hot pig and have like 10 to 12,000 steps recorded just for the running. And it's just how it's going to be. And I'm going to be all sweating like a horse. It's going to be real bad.
And to our friends in Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada, don't step outside or you will instantly disintegrate.
Yeah, you'll just die. Somebody sent me a Snapchat of a photo of the inside of their oven and just said, testing my Arizona simulator, which I thought was really funny.
Nice.
By the way, I don't know if I've told people this, but you can find me on Snapchat at TheScottJohnson. That's right. The Scott Johnson on Snapchat. I put a lot of dumb shit on there, so go check it out. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
Oh, great. How you doing, Daryl? Yeah. What's going on? Daryl, I don't like Pixar movies. Skeels is on the line with us.
I didn't say that. I just said they had similar storylines.
A lot of them do. You're right. And it's people reminded us on Twitter that it was the hero's journey is the trope we're talking about.
Right.
If you start to think about it, pretty much applies to almost every film ever. Like, it's weird how many movies, if you just look at them and go, oh yeah, that's right, that one's totally hero's journey. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's multiple heroes working together, sometimes it's one dude or lady, sometimes it's an alien or whatever, but somebody's always stranded someplace and needs to get back,
right?
Or someone's stranded and that person needs to go get them. Mm-hmm. Right, so there you go, Daryl, you're right once again. Daryl's right. Daryl's
was there barfing in the movie though?
No barf. Oh, you know what? Yes, there was.
Ooh. But not in undersea barfing.
Not in the way you expect, though. It's not exactly that. It's you need to see it. It's a delightful film. I loved it.
I can't find Dory in this cloud of puke.
It was really good. Also, by the way, a few names I want to mention: Ty Burrell, Eugene Levy, Diane Keaton. Who else was there that really made me laugh?
They're going to be so happy when they hear their names on the show.
I know, they are. Finally, they get some attention. Yeah. What's her name from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? The blonde, I can't think of her name.
I don't know her name either, but she looks like a bird. She's what they always say.
She's so good in it.
She's hilarious.
She's really good in that movie. So anyway.
She should play a bird.
Yeah, she should play a bird. All right. So, Daryl, let's play a little Stump Daryl time. It's the topic today is Star Wars Episode 4, and Amanda's on the phone. Say hi, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Daryl.
She's very nice. She's from Canada, Toronto, to be specific. And as a neighbor to the north, we're here to help you or hinder you in getting this correct question wrong or right. What am I trying to say? Anyway, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope is the show, or is the movie. All right, you're a fan. You like Star Wars, lightsabers and Force and all that. You like that?
Mm-hmm. Let the Wookiee win and all that business?
Sure. A little holographic chessboard and all that.
Yeah, and Hopper and everything.
Yeah, Hopper. Hopper's great. So here's your question. A New Hope, or in New Hope, our heroes are heading to Docking Bay 94 to meet Han and Chewie to get off Tatooine. However, an alien spy informs the Empire. I'll remind you, he sounded like this. That guy. Remember him? With the nose? However, an alien spy informs the Empire that the heroes are heading there. What is the name of this alien spy who rats out Luke and his squad? Oh, Mike, don't say squad.
He's the little elephant-looking dude.
Yeah, black-faced elephant man.
Right, with glasses.
Sure. Goggles.
I hope that's not one of the choices.
No, it's not. Okay. This character is not named in the film, but was subsequently given a name in order to sell toys and other stuff. So you could buy an action figure version of this.
Another one of these.
Yep. Imagine that.
Shocking. Here are your options. A, Ponda Baba. These are all actual actual names, by the way.
That's what I named my car.
Yeah, the Ponda Baba.
You call it Honda Baba.
Oh, yeah. B, Garindan.
Garindan.
Garindan. That's a weird one. Yeah. C, Monma Nadon. Monma Nadon.
I don't think there's an N in there. I think it's just Moma Nadon.
Moma Nadon. Does that sound right?
Yeah, Momamadon.
Okay. I always like to get it with extra Cajun seasoning. It's really good. And then finally, Kabe or Cabe. I don't, probably Kabe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's K-A-B-E. So Ponda Baba, Garindan, Moma Nadon, or Kabe or Cabe.
Thanks, Ice Worm.
These are the worst. Also, George Lucas has terrible names for characters in his movies.
Right.
They're so bad.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, a lot of them are bad, dude. Like, the freaking Mon Calamari is a bunch of fish people. Come on.
They look like
squids.
Yeah, they're all fish squid men. It's terrible. Anyway.
Excuse me.
So, what do you think there?
Waitress, where's my Mon Calamari? Oh, I ordered it an hour. Hey, that's a good name for a character.
All right. Sorry. I mean, Akbar is kind of a cool name.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's also just sort of nonsense, but that's fine. I can live with that. But Mon Calamari, come on. Dumb.
There's not even a comic in that one.
Uh-uh. Not at all. You couldn't even do like a snack bar joke.
Yeah.
Right.
It's only my best-selling print ever. Do you have any, Amanda, do you have any direction you want to push him in?
I'm kind of interested in hearing what Daryl thinks.
Okay.
Oh, I don't remember. I didn't buy the toys or anything, so I guess there's no way I would know.
I made it my job when I was young to buy the weird ones. I wanted Hammerhead. I wanted like the obscure, like
Walrus Man.
Yeah,
and,
guys that had no
Snaggletooth.
Exactly, the guys that had no real bearing on the story.
Right. They're on screen for a second.
Yeah, the basically. Little devil guy that was in the bar.
Yes. I love the little devil guy.
Yeah, I have him somewhere.
Yeah.
Over there somewhere. Anyway.
But if I were going to guess, which I have to, I would guess B.
You're going to guess B? Garindan?
Sure. It's dumb and they're still qualified. Well, and they all are, so I guess they all qualify.
All right, well, let's find out if that's correct. Is it? I'm sorry.
Congratulations.
It is correct.
You're
but
a winner.
But what it means is this.
So you get nothing.
You lose. Amanda, you seem like the sweetest person ever, but you lose and I have to remove you unceremoniously from the call. Okay, she's gone. yes, the correct answer was Garindan. It's the name of this alien. He's also sometimes called Long Snoot.
Yeah. Oh, so I got it right. Well, that's yay then.
You got it right, but she thought you'd get it wrong.
You sound so overjoyed.
Yeah, you're so thrilled today. You're all this energy. It's like you took 5 hour energy this morning, didn't you? What's going on over there? Just a busy day. It's a Monday. What's going on?
Oh, I don't like to see people lose because they get something right, but I like to be right.
You can thank George Lucas for this one. He said he tells sand troopers there where they're heading. There are clips of what he sounds like. Oh, there's an actual clip here. Check it out. Hey, Mike, hold that mic a little closer to the TV.
He would later go on to voice Slippy Toad in the Star Fox game.
Do a barrel roll. All right. Well done, Daryl. You've done it. You got it right, although our listener got it wrong. That's okay. This prize will stack, and we'll have it for tomorrow. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. He will now play a game with us called Googleocalypse, right?
Google's Maximus, but whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Google is, and we don't have food because I'm waiting for a thing you guys got, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some rad package, and mine's not here yet. Daryl has a rad package. Mine's not. That's yes, right. You heard me right, everybody. All right, here's your little theme for that.
I know. I Googled it.
All right, give it to us.
Okay, let's go with the least offensive one here. My wife left me because blank.
My wife left me because blank.
The number one answer.
I cheated.
My wife left me because blank. Because I fart too much.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm now figuring out how to play this damn game, right?
Yeah, you almost have, the crazier you go, the more likely you are to get it.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to say because I cheated on her. He'll say because he farts too much. Yeah. And I think that he's probably closer than me.
Well, I'll say the actual one, which is my wife left me because I left dishes by the sink.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
That's a reason to leave?
The real one?
That's the real one.
That's the number one Googled, my wife left me.
Because, but is it because it's in a movie or something I don't know about? Or there's a song that goes, my wife left me because I put a dish next to the sink.
But I cheated is the fourth one on mine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But what?
Maybe you still lose.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I need to get my head around why that would ever happen. Does it mean she left you for the evening? Does it mean she left you to go to the living room because she was pissed their dishes there, or left you, like gone?
Right. No, I think left you.
That's what I would think.
That's funky, man. All right. Well, we all lose then. We all lose. bye, Daryl. Ga-ga-ga. All right. Here you go.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Today's rapid fire news brought to you by.
Hello from All Roads Tavern. This week, our adventurers journey deeper into the jungle, only to unwittingly stumble into the middle of a fight between a pack of mighty beasts and the island god. Will they be able to survive underfoot? Find out this week on Void Ocean. Void Ocean. Find this and other tales at lithmage.com. That's LITHMAGE.com.
Lithmage. Looking forward to playing that in World of Warcraft. All right, there was a hazmat incident at a suburban Willy Wonka factory.
Uh-oh. Where they make the gobstoppers
and
the
place.
Runs?
Yep, and they got a little bit of the, they got a little golden ticket in there. If you get the golden, I got a golden ticket, then you win a trip to walk through the place, and then your fat friend will get sucked into a tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
my fat friend. Oh, Augustus.
save some for me.
They sent 12 workers to a hospital. A chemical spill in the Illinois Valley Willy Wonka candy factory in DuPage County sent a dozen employees to the hospital Friday morning. Officials say the workers were making Nerds and other popular sweet treats just before 1:30 a.m. in northwest suburban how would you say that?
Itasca?
Itasca? Sounds right, I guess.
Know. I don't know. I'm not going to pronounce it wrong because I'm going to get an angry tweet.
Yeah, you don't want to all caps tweet about your pronunciation of Itasca. When a 5-gallon container of lithium chloride spilled. Isn't that stuff like in batteries or something?
What are they using lithium chloride for at the Willy Wonka factory?
What's in these Nerds? It's not good for you, man. Six killed when van hits car. Oh, what's this? Oh, this is a separate article. Sorry. Oh. at least, I don't know how that got copied in there. 18 employees complained of having problems breathing. Nobody died. And 12 were taken to area hospitals. Quote, it's a product used in, I believe, the humidifying system here.
Mm.
Itasca Deputy Fire Chief John Radinsky said, now playing left wing for... the Toronto hockey team. I couldn't think of a team. Anyway, so just
caused by a bunch of jocks.
Nerds.
What was that guy's name?
fruit? No, what was it? Or ogre.
Ogre
knocked over a bottle of lithium chloride. Yeah. Nerds!
That's funny. Some sad news. This happened over the weekend, and what a bummer this was.
It was, and this is why I suspect Daryl sounded a little down today when we were talking to him.
Oh, it might have been. I meant to bring that up and see what he was thinking. But anyway, the Star Trek actor Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov in the new movies, and just a charming dude, plays very young. He was actually 27. Yeah, Nuclear Wessels. He was found dead at age 27. And the only, I guess, good thing is lately in Hollywood, everyone's death seems to be related to opioid overdoses. This was not that. This was an accident. He was late for a rehearsal, and his friends went to his house, because he's never late, at about 1 a.m. They start very early with these rehearsals. And they found him pinned between his car and a brick mailbox.
It
was attached to a security gate at his home around 1 a.m. Sunday morning, with the car engine still running and the car in neutral. So what had happened is, I guess, so other stories have described the incline of the driveway as being very steep, and he probably had left the car there, ran down to do something to the gate, didn't realize that it was in neutral, and just a freak accident.
I think, more has come out that the vehicle he has actually has been recalled because of rolling issues. So he might have even had the emergency brake on, or might have had
it. That makes it worse.
And I can just imagine, like, oh my God, it's rolling. And so your first instinct is probably to get behind it and try and stop it before it runs into a wall or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But it may have had too much momentum. It's just awful, man.
It's sad.
And
yeah.
I was reading some of the tweets from some of the other co-stars from the movies, the movie co-stars, and they're all in shock. Everybody loved this guy. Like, he was this up-and-coming rad dude. His parents were Olympic figure skaters in Russia.
Oh, wow.
And then came to the United States when he was just a tiny little thing, just a few months old, I think. So that accent it's him doing a great accent, but it's not his natural one.
Right.
Anyway, that's a bummer. I think that freaking sucks.
It really does.
And
yeah.
We don't even, a lot of times on the show, unless it's like Prince or something, we don't even bring up these kind of deaths, but that sucks.
And the fact that we got the movie coming out in a little over a month, right? Or I don't know. When
less
is
than that, I think. A little bit less than that, I think. It's like next, and it's in July, but I don't know when in July.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just awful.
Yeah.
27, come on.
July 22nd, so a little over a month, yeah.
Police have said there's no foul play. They just, they think it's all been an accident.
No, it's...
Too young, had a lot, big career ahead of him, I think. Just, and forget about that, just like his family and, you know, everything else, that blows.
It really does.
Let's move on to this news about Warcraft. It is now the most successful video game movie of all time.
Woo!
That doesn't say a lot, considering how far it is from movies that are just successful, period.
Wait, this one beat the Super Mario Brothers movie?
I can't believe
it. With Bob Hoskins?
How can it be?
It beat, actually, you know, it is kind of surprising when you think of, like, all right, you know, it's not surprising that it beat stuff like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, but it felt like Tomb Raider at the time did really well as far as money.
It's somewhere, that stuff still stays in the middle somewhere, but Prince of Persia was the current record holder. Yeah, so this movie just surpassed $377 million worldwide. Most of that was from China. Prince of Persia's record setting 336 is now the second highest. If you use the double the budget, $160 million, to compensate for marketing formula, it's already profitable.
Right.
So if that is actually, everyone thinks that's the method to knowing when your movie can be greenlit for a sequel or not, probably good news. Although it might be in Chinese the way things went. Good Lord. The Chinese really embraced that thing, at least for the first week. Second week, they had a huge drop off, like 80%. So I think what happened is all the Chinese gamers went the first week.
Yeah.
And then nobody else cared.
Right.
That's my thinking.
It'd be funny, like, if the sequel is done in Chinese, because, I mean, they'd have to use the same actors to continue the sequel. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they wouldn't.
Maybe not. I don't know.
You know, they could pick up several, you know, a couple decades ahead of where this one left off.
Well, and so Duncan Jones already said that if they do a sequel, the next one would be the Arthas story, and that's like 45 years in the future or something.
Right, so they could get new actors. I'd still have no problem watching a Warcraft sequel that was done in China but dubbed for American audiences.
Yeah, I'd be
no
okay
problem.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's just impossible to... This is what, if you are a film, if you are a big studio, this is what you do now. You count on international take more and more than you do the U.S. take. The U.S. take is still important. The trends are set here. They're being made here. The money's here. Like, all that stuff's important. but less and less the audiences matter, less and less here. Premieres are happening 2 weeks ahead in Europe and in Asia, and then they finally come here. Like, it's a weird turnaround. It didn't used to be like this.
Right.
I'm not xenophobic about it. I think it's fine. It's great. So don't send any all caps tweets. We're just keep reminding you guys today. No all caps tweets.
Keep your all caps tweets to yourself.
That's right. Push that button. The one with the light says caps lock. Turn that off.
Mm-hmm. And be respectful.
And be respectful. It's a good way to put it, Brian.
Hey, I'm liking the fact that this might, you know, you guys were talking about this on the instance the other day.
Yep.
When Terpster, by the way, called out my wife.
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh, it's on now.
No. Like this became a bit of a controversy. So and people have heard it since and written to me and talked to me and said, that is absolutely a compliment
about the special effects.
Yeah. And I agree. It is 100% a compliment. And these fancy-pantsy Europeans have it in their head that everyone's just a dingus if they aren't, you know,
right.
In the know or whatever.
I know it was all, you know, it's Terpster. It's, you know, it's ratcheted up to, to 11.
Yeah, 11.
Which is brilliant.
Brilliant. I think it's 11.
So it's not really on, like, Donkey Kong. Like, she's not going to, like, you know, gank him when she sees him in her tacular next year.
It was a pretty funny moment, but.
Anyway. So hearing you guys talk about the if it reaches a certain, you know, money mark, Duncan Jones is going to throw all those cut scenes, like finish the special effects on them and put them on the special edition Blu-ray.
Yeah, we don't know what that number is. Like, we don't know at what point does that become the number that's enough to do
Duncan, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, do a Kickstarter. I will back it. Like, a Kickstarter for the special edition Blu-ray?
I would totally do that. Yeah, in a heartbeat. I'd buy that.
I'm in.
Final story today before we take a break. Woman has been fined $2 million for starting a fire with a flamethrower she was trying to use to kill a squirrel. So that's a good time.
Damn.
Yeah, right?
The old baby bathwater situation.
As the old saying goes, according to the Daily Dayton Daily News.
Yeah, Dayton Daily News.
Oh,
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton.
Oh, you are from Dayton.
Good Lord, Scott. There is more than one way to skin a cat, but what about removing fur from a squirrel? According to WCNC, the woman whose boyfriend started an apartment fire in 2012 while using a blowtorch to remove the fur from a squirrel now owes $2 million to the apartment complex. Judge ruled on Wednesday. The new ruling reversed a lower court ruling that had Barbara Pello. That's P-E-L-L-O-W, Pillow. The way that Utahns say Pillow, or Pillow, is the way her name is actually spelled. Is on the hook for $15,400 in damages. That was the lower court ruling, but now they're saying $2 million because there was damage sustained by 32 units in the Clearview apartments.
Oh, God. Your Honor, my client didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. Get a squirrel, start a fire, call the judge a liar.
Wow. Your new lyrics are tight.
Right on the money,
yeah,
right?
They're pretty good. The $2 million figure is linked to the more than $2 million spent in repairs to the insurance carrier Travelers Indemnity Company that paid out to the dozens of people who lost their belongings in the fire, according to the WCNC. Yeah, listen. Having a lot of fiery type things in an apartment complex, just a bad freaking idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are or what you're doing. I do know this, though. Before we get to music, I want to talk to you. Where'd the music go? Oh, that's weird. It's supposed to be playing still. Before we take off here into the music land of Brian, I wanted to remind you that our friends at Squarespace are sponsoring today's program. Building websites can be fun. Did you know that? Did you know that templates are fun? Being able to make a website without the restrictions of knowing all the code or worrying about servers or any of that stuff. When that stuff's out of the way, you're just free to be creative and come up with like super rad solutions to your web needs. You want to make an online store? Why do you want to get all bogged down in the garbage when you can go to squarespace.com and have it just so simply in front of you? All the tools and templates you need. You can make everything look great on mobile and desktop. Responsive design is always a key factor over there. They're upgrading these tools all the time, so you're always getting the latest and greatest. You can get a domain with your account, so even if you don't have one yet, you can get one now. Best part is 14-day trial. Don't have to pay anything in that 14 days. Don't even have to sign up with a credit card. You just use the site for 14 days, and at the end of it, you're going to go, oh, I want to keep it. how can I save some money? Here's how. Scott tells you to use this code. It's morning at checkout at squarespace.com. If you use that code, it's going to save you some money. That's morning at checkout at squarespace.com. Squarespace, build it beautiful. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, major spoilers will be here. That's Steven Schleicher, everyone.
Right.
He'll be back, and we'll talk to him, and also Veronica will be here. We're talking about video games and some emails, because there's some good ones this week. Before all of that, though, Brian prepared a small, tight package of music.
I did, and it's our indie song today. All right, this is good. If do you have a piece of paper handy, yep. Listeners?
You ever seen
get
paper?
A piece of paper mm-hmm. and a pen handy, because I want you to enjoy the song, but then I also want you later, after you're done listening to TMS, I want you to go check out the video for the song, because it is also awesome. So the band is Foxtails Brigade, two words, Foxtails Brigade, mm-hmm. and the song is called We Are Not Ourselves. Not only is this song fantastic, and kind of reminds me a little bit of St. Vincent, maybe, what else? It's just really good. The video is something worth seeing. I love videos that kind of tell a story, and this one is so clever and funny. And it has such a Seven-esque mystery to it. All right. Cool. The song again, We Are Not Ourselves. It's by Foxtails Brigade, and that is the name of the album as well. Just came out last week. Here is Foxtails Brigade.
Observation on the ratio of sheep to their brain. I am not myself. We are not ourselves. Restlessly, I recollect all of the vulgar different ways you can swear. Picture all the different people who I'd like to see get pushed down the stairs. We are not ourselves.
cat's tail is his badge of honor, so let's not neglect it. Simply start from the base of the rump, rubbing your way out, and follow it to its natural conclusion.
I dropped my Hot Pocket.
I just destroyed Scott Fletcher's file by accident. This is the Morning Stream.
I did not mean to do that.
Start at the rump and work your way until a natural conclusion. This is the Morning Stream.
You know what? He could do a good one with that. I should have him. I should just, every time I get weird clips from something like this cat lady that you sent me.
Yeah.
We should just forward them on to him and say, make versions of this, Scott Fletcher.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, that I think it was Leslie Victorine in the chat that sent the cat video.
Oh, is that who that's from?
Yeah.
Here's some more. You guys want to hear some more?
The front of your cat is a veritable treasure chest of fun. You don't need a swimming pool for this breaststroking.
Ugh. She's creepy, that
one. Oh.
She weirds me out.
What am I listening to?
I find her weird. Don't like it one bit. No, sir, I don't. All right. I'm going to add Steven to our party.
Please do.
Party of three.
It's our party, and we can add Steven if we want to.
If we want to. That's right. Okay, here he comes. Oh, look, he's got that fast answer thing, which is so cool. Yeah. Here's this right here, guys. From the far off wispy winds of Kansas comes one Steven Schleicher to the program. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going. It's Monday.
Is it? Good.
I think I burned my my cheeks out today.
Oh.
Oh, jeez. How'd you burn your cheeks out?
It's that sunny out today.
Oh, face cheeks,
right?
Yeah, no, face cheeks. Yeah, not as arse.
I went walking with my assless chaps today.
I am so glad you guys brought this up. I had the strangest thing.
Chaps,
No, not that. The heat part. So the other day, I had a nephew over.
Yeah.
And he's dinking around in the backyard. And later that day, I went outside and noticed that the hammock, there's a pillow part of the hammock that I lay on and read that's it's tied to the hammock, but it's just like this big, I don't know what's made, like burlap pillow, right? Mm-hmm. And there were these two what looked like burning footmarks on it. Like it had been seared almost like on fire type burn, almost like marshmallow dark, like when you burn a marshmallow.
Yeah.
Two big what looked like footmarks on the side of this pillow. And I thought, what did my freaking nephew do while he was out here? Like I was racking my brain. Did he have a lighter? What was he doing? Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to confront anybody. We just assumed some kid did a bad thing and now he feels bad and he's too afraid to tell me. I'm just going to let him either tell me or not. It's no big deal. It still functions as a pillow. It's off to the side. Next day comes. It's a rainy day. Don't even think about it. Nothing happens. Third day comes. Hot as hell. It's like 90 degrees. I go outside again. Three new burn marks, all different shapes, all up on this pillow. Big, hard, and nobody's been to the house that day. It was only me and the dog. So I thought,
there's like, you must have like a glass wind chime or something that's like focusing.
I think that's what it ended up being. But I'm having like a CSI crisis here. I cannot find the source of it. So it's happening at a certain part of the day. It must be with the way two windows are hitting each other, or the neighbor's window's hitting mine, or there's some kind of, like you said, like a wind chime that's just angled just right for the noonday sun or something.
Right.
I have since moved the hammock because I don't want to burn it again, and it hasn't happened since, so I'm sure that's what was going on. But is that the weirdest thing? And it was enough to like create, like that thing could burst into flames. There's no way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I guess, what is this, Brian, at the Wind Resort, isn't it?
Because that's exactly
the shape,
what I was going
to
tell you.
It burns people down on the pool.
It was the Vidara, yeah, because it's got a concave shape to it that they had the Vidara death ray that was burning people's plastic bags with their items in it.
Oh my gosh, really?
Because the sun would hit it just right, and it was like Indiana Jones well of souls, like
know right where it's going to be and why are there
snakes? Exactly. Yeah. This is where the gold is buried, Marion.
So when I'm in Vegas and it's in the hot summer, and I do love that, I like hot Vegas time more than most people. We'll be down like by the Aria kind of area,
yeah,
and that place immediately goes 12 to 20 degrees hotter than the rest of the strip because all of those glass buildings are just acting as giant, like, reflective devices.
Yeah, right.
It's horrible. It was just a little thing.
Going back in August, but we'll talk about that another time.
Are you really? We may be there in August. Maybe we'll have to figure that out.
Let's try and time it together.
I think that's what we're doing. I have to ask him.
Do you have a date yet?
No. Well, we may have, and I don't know about it. Okay, I'll ask.
Think about the 23rd, 24th, 25th, somewhere around there.
Okay, toward the end of the month. All right.
Yep.
All right. I'll talk to Kim. Steven, yes. let's talk about some things. You come from majorspoilers.com, my favorite place for pop culture news, comic book stuff, and all that. And we're getting, you know, that Penny Dreadful show that's on Showtime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're getting a prequel treatment on for some comics, and that sounds kind of rad. Who's doing it?
Yeah, so this is actually written by one of the script writers of the series.
Mm.
So, you know, you've got some connection there to the series. But Titan Comics is publishing Penny Dreadful number one. It comes out this week, I believe. And it tells a prequel of why Vanessa went looking for Mina Harker and how the vampire monsters, you know, came to be, or a hidden secret about that. So if people are interested in Penny Dreadful, and that's a pretty creepy show on Showtime.
It really is. I love it, though.
It is really good. I just started the second season. I'm way behind on it. But
what's that lady's name? What's that main actress's name? She's big time.
Ava Green.
Ava Green. Mm-hmm. She's always creepy in everything she ever does, ever.
She is. And Timothy Dalton and Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Is he the, I know.
The werewolf guy?
The werewolf guy, yeah.
Tatum. I don't know. I like it all. I just love how it's so basically universal monsters all mashed up together.
Oh, totally. And one of the companions, Billy Piper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, guess what? My sister-in-law, sorry, this is really weird. You keep reminding me of things. My sister Sarah just got back, or sister-in-law Sarah just got back from New York, and they saw Inara on the street there.
They saw Inara, the companion?
The companion Inara, yeah.
Wow.
She was just standing there going somewhere and doing something. The actress was, and she didn't have the nerve to say anything to her, but I thought, yeah, that's the lady Brian named his cat after.
One of the two ladies, yes. The other one is Inara George, the bird and the bee.
Yeah, but mostly the companion, though.
Mostly the companion.
Anyway, sorry. That's exciting. Penny Dreadful. So that show is popular, I think, right? Didn't it do well?
Oh, yeah.
Well?
I mean, they just finished their third season.
I think they're
up for a fourth season, or maybe they're in the middle of the third season. But yeah, show is going to continue for a
finale
while.
Finale was last night, I believe. I'm not caught up on the current season, but I'm loving it.
I know there's a lot of people out there, so I wanted to mention that there is a comic book tie-in that's by one of the script writers of the show that people might want to check out.
She was in that Camelot show that didn't last very long on Stars. Mm-hmm. She was often nude in there. Is she often nude here?
She's occasionally nude in Penny Dreadful.
Mm.
I mean, she was nude in
Spirit?
One of the James Bond movies, too, right? She was Vesper Lynn.
Oh.
In the Casino Royale.
Oh, right. Was she nude, though? Was she nude?
No, I guess she wasn't nude. I mean, I think there was like her laying on the bed face down where...
I love the word nude. I'm going to see... You know what I want to do? I'm going to get a t-shirt made that just says, often nude.
Often nude.
Often nude. All right. Anyway, well, look for that. That's coming. Titan Comics.
Yep.
You guys will review it, maybe, when it comes out?
Yeah, probably. Somebody here is a big Penny Dreadful fan. I'm sure they will pick it up.
Bunch of nerds on staff that can do it. So we got some fall premiere dates for CW shows. I'm very curious about the Supergirl relaunch there and all that stuff. What do we know? What's coming up?
So if we're looking at just the comic side, Flash comes out on October 4th with Arrow on the 5th. The second season of Supergirl comes out October 10th. And that's going to be most interesting, like you said, Scott, because not only is it one of the first times or few times that we've seen a show jump networks, but we're actually getting a Superman in this next season. He's not just going to be in shadow or a pair of boots on a table or anything like that. They've actually hired, I don't know how to say this guy's last name, Tyler Hoechlin, I believe is how you say it. He's going to be playing Superman and Clark Kent in the second season of Supergirl. You may know him from Teen Wolf. He was on that show. Mm. And that movie that was in and out of theaters very quickly this summer, Everybody Wants Some, from Linklater.
Linklater, right.
Oh, yeah. How did that... Would that review okay?
I don't know. I never got to see it. I kept going, oh, it's coming out maybe in a couple of weeks. And the next thing I know, it's like, oh, it came out 2 months ago.
Everyone was so excited about it. And then it just... Boop, and then it was gone.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I want to, though.
I'm going to find it. Anyway. Well, that's that sounds all right.
CW. Yeah, I think so. I think Supergirl will have a tremendous debut on the 10th when it airs, just because so many people are going to want to see, number one, how do they bring Superman into this in a show where the creators were told a long time ago, no, you can never put in Superman or Batman in any of these television shows because they're making big money on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people will tune in for that, and they also want to see what changes are going to be made to the show because they're moving it up north to shoot in Vancouver. Not all of the cast is coming back that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting to see what changes are made.
Well, I'm excited to see how that all pans out. Because you know, again, from best I can tell, Supergirl deserves, continued good treatment.
Definitely.
It has its base, and that guy looks Superman-y as hell.
He does, really. When he shaves his beard off, he looks really good.
Yeah, he's all up in the Superman face, so that's good.
Yep.
So watch for that coming soon. Hey, yep. I wanted to ask you a more particular question about, now that we're like 2 or 3 weeks into this Comixology Unlimited thing, what was once very well celebrated by most people when it first happened, some people have now kind of come around going, well, the problem is it's like 3 issues of this one run, or it's
right. And that's the thing that people didn't kind of read the fine print. They just thought, oh, this is like the Marvel Unlimited, where you get access to 75,000 comics. And yes, you may be six months behind, but you have access to all those.
Right.
The Comixology Unlimited service is more of a sampler service where you're accessing, like you said, 3 or 4 issues of comic, but you're not accessing everything in there. And if you want to get access to those other issues, you do have to pay. And not every publisher is on board right now either. So.
Sure. And that part, I mean, when I first got it, I'm like, I don't care if Marvel and DC are doing their own thing. I'm more into the indie scene anyway. And what Image does is more my speed. And, you know, this is kind of my thing. And for only $5.99, no big deal. I still think it's no big deal. Like, it's still worth the price.
No, I mean, if you're really wanting to figure out what works for you and you're hesitant of spending, you know, $3.99 or $3.50, for a comic book just to test it out, I think the Comixology Unlimited is a great idea, because if you are spending $6 a month and you have access to, you know, a wide variety of comics that you can sample for less than the cost of a comic, I think it's a good deal.
Yeah. Expand, right? Like, we may see more.
May see some more expand in the future. I think what Comixology really needs to do, and I've said this for many years now, is that they need to create a unlimited service where you can browse and read up to so many comics per month.
Yeah.
And that, I think, would make the service a little bit more attractive. And maybe they'll migrate to that, but I don't know.
I would even pay more for that.
Well, and the big question is, and this is why a lot of creators are upset, is because many of the creators were like, well, we were never told that we were going to be part of this program. How are we getting paid for this? Are we getting paid any money for this? Because people are accessing the comic that is creator-owned in the case of Image Comics.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of questions that I don't think have been completely answered to everyone's satisfaction just yet.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to sort of get your temperature on it, because it seems like it's, you know, came out strong and then people have been a little bit weird about it. And if it's, I guess I just say this, if you're going in thinking, I mean, their use of the word unlimited is a little bit weird.
True.
You know, because calling it unlimited... that's a word that usually means there's no limits.
You know? That would imply limit free.
Yes. They should call it Comixology Limited, honestly.
I think the part that's less supposed to be the part that's supposed to be the unlimited part is the fact that you can take it anywhere, where you don't have to be connected to the internet. You can download it. You can put it on a number of any device that you have. So it's not limited like some other services where it's like, well, you can't download these comics, or if you're going to read them, you have to have an internet connection to do that.
Well, it's like having a restaurant and calling it Salad Unlimited and then having them say,
and they cut no, you off have after to, your you second have to, trip.
Yeah, you can't come over and get it again. But I thought it was unlimited. No, we mean you can eat it outside or at that table over there. You can
get these 4 ingredients and have as much of those 4 ingredients as you want. But if you want carrots or cucumbers, it's going to cost you a little bit extra.
Yeah, that's rough. I don't want to eat there. But I do want to get more comics. So this is a step in the right direction.
I think so.
Yeah, overall. Steven, anything else happening in the major spoilers world we should be aware of before
if
we let you go?
If people have not entered the contest for the month to get some Munchkin games, head over to majorspoilers.com/giveaway, and you've got until the end of the month to enter.
That seems fabulous.
Yeah.
Fan-fabulous is the word I
made. Fabulous, if you ask me.
Steven Schleicher at Major Spoilers on Twitter. Majorspoilers.com is the website. You can find him doing all kinds of podcasts and great stuff. Critical Hits, still amazing. You guys need to be checking these shows out. They're also back on the Frog Pants mega feed. I don't know what happened there. Something got goofy with my scripting. I got to do it manually for a while. But you can find those shows there as well. Majorspoilers.com. Steven, take it easy.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye now. All right. There you go. That's some good times there with him. With the ye old Steven Schleicher.
Ye old Steven Schleicher.
He's a real
comic-loving madman, you.
He's a funny bumper. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One Veronica Ann Belmont back from yet another whirlwind tour of robot something something. What was the deal with that? You were doing some robot thing or something. What was the deal? Some conference?
No, not
or...
robots, bots, just regular old bots.
Oh, just old, like, that could be like a bot in Slack or something or whatever.
There you go. Perfect.
You're a huge proponent of those things, I've noticed. You're like a big fan of that. Yeah. And you're the person, so, okay, sorry, we'll get into video games in a second, but years ago, when Veronica and I first met, you were the one that would always say, I'm ready for my RFID chip in my head.
Like, in my arm, yeah, yes.
In your arm. But you were ready to go. Like, let's automate this. Let me walk through a grocery store and pay without doing anything. Like, let me have the weird tracking chip. And now you're like, let me have a million little scripted robots running my life. And I think
there you go. The future is now.
It is now.
My body is ready.
I think that's super cool. Anyway, so beyond all that, though, video games. Lots of it happened because of E3 last week. All that sort of stuff's been going on. So what in the world do you have on your mind today? Because there was so much, I don't even know how you parse it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really even pay attention to E3. I don't know what happened at all. What happened at E3? Was there anything good?
It was a video game or two they mentioned, and I don't know, some console thing?
Yeah. So
no, seriously. Okay, tell me. Tell me what happened at E3. That's way better than the story.
Here's the short of it. So I'll give you here's the Cliff Notes version of E3. Microsoft announced a mid-tier console, a shrunken-down version of the Xbox One called the Xbox One S, which you could refer to as the X-Bones, because it's just the S at the end.
Hey, the big thing about that, no external power brick.
Yeah, internal power brick is the big deal. It's smaller. The controller's been redesigned, so supposedly some of that's been beefed up. And it will be capable of doing 4K video and some upscaling of games, but not much else in terms of, you know, it's not a huge power boost to games. This is a bit like the PlayStation Neo rumors, but confirmed. Also, the rumors for Neo were also confirmed, but Sony did not show any of that off. So that's your hardware thing. And a lot of VR stuff was shown. But the hardware things are basically the S and the future Scorpio console they said would come out in 2017. Nintendo showed off nothing but Zelda pretty much the entire time, which looked amazing, by the way. That game looks real, real good. And that will come out on Wii U and the NX, but they didn't show any NX hardware or talk about that at all.
Yeah, that might push me into getting a Wii U finally. That might be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
You should just get a console seller for
you. Just get the NX because it's a launch title on the NX and just will also be for Wii U. That's what you should do is just get the new console when it comes out.
Okay, I'll do that.
So that's the other news is it's a launch title for NX, whatever the NX is going to be called. And then you got your Sony, which was all games all the time and the best conference there. It was real tight. They had a live orchestra. Bear McCreary,
did
all the music. He was amazing. He's scoring the new God of War game, which actually looked amazing. They showed stuff no one's ever heard of. They kept a bunch of secrets. They priced the VR thing at $399 coming out in October. That's basically it. Then lots of little games, you know, games here.
Any particular games you're excited about?
Well, all right. So I was they're doing a remaster of Skyrim.
Oh.
I know. And I don't know why I got so excited about this, but I did. It was at the Bethesda thing, and they said, you know, look, we're working on all this other stuff. We got Dishonored 2 coming out this year, and that looked really good. They showed a bunch of that. But they then announced, and there were some leaks about this, so that turned out to be true, but they showed comparison video of, like, Xbox 360 and PS3 versions of Skyrim versus what they're doing with these remasters for PS4, PC, and Xbox One, and it looks really good. I think I may end up doing that again.
Play it again.
Down for that. Oh my gosh, that game is so good. And then I watched Game of Thrones last night, and now I want to do nothing but play Skyrim style games.
I know. That was a great episode.
Good lord,
wow,
that
what
was
an
amazing.
Episode.
Best,
no spoilers.
Best movie I've seen in 2016, and it wasn't a movie. Yeah.
Best battle scene, I think. People are saying the best battle scene ever on television.
I can't even think of a comparison.
There is one just long uncut shot that is fantastic.
Yeah, the tracking shot is pretty stunning. And when you the best tracking shot ever on TV is the True Detective episode when they're at the drug dealer's house.
Oh yeah, the first season. Yeah, that was really.
Yeah, in the first season.
That was incredible.
But this was a great one too. This is a close second for me.
Yeah, Daredevil had a great one of those as well. Daredevil Netflix series had a couple of great shots.
Yeah. What was cool about this was you had tweeted last night something about the little 10-minute special they did about the battle, and I didn't know it was on there, so I went back to HBO Now and found it, and I went, this is new, so I stayed up for another 10 minutes late last night and watched that, and so much of that was practical, and
the
you
horses,
assume it's not.
I mean, God.
Like, even Kit Harington was like, It's going to suck because people are going to think that seam or all those horses are charging me a CGI and it wasn't.
Okay. All right. Careful.
Well, there's horses. There's horses in a fight.
Everyone knew there was going to be a battle.
No, I don't want the tweets in all caps.
Hey, chat room, guess what? Horses in Game of Thrones. I just want you to know. Anyway, but that was super impressive. But aside,
so if you haven't seen the episode, look for a scene where there's horses coming at Jon Snow. That scene is not CGI; it's real.
Yeah, but you do question it at first. I remember going, "Oh, this is a really good use of like, you know, whatever they're doing, the green screening him into there or something." Mm-hmm. But no, dude, like that is some real intense stuff. And let's just say, finally, good riddance. To a certain somebody. That's all I'll say.
Now you're getting
all right. I'm dipping my toe in spoiler water here a little bit.
You don't know when to stop, Johnson.
I just about screamed and yahooed in front of my iPad in bed last night. Anyway, so that's E3. It's mostly like we're in that mid cycle, like 3 years into console cycle where the games are starting to look really, really great and amazing. You know, they're getting their head around hardware better than before. The only thing that's weird about this year is it just feels a little strange that the console market appears to be, both on the Microsoft and Sony front, appearing to be moving toward kind of a PC upgrade cycle, which is strange. Even as someone who is a big PC gamer, and I know you are too, you and I are used to things like, my video card's old, I should get a new one, or this hard drive's too small, I need to upgrade, or we're used to knowing that we got to do these jumps and sometimes whole new rigs because that's just the way this, you know, that cookie crumbles. But in consoles, we're used to saying, hey, I bought that thing when it launched and it's here for like eight to 10 years and it's not going away. And they want to get something closer to not just the PC cycle, but like cell phones and smartphones and the way that we upgrade those all the time. And
If they make them small enough and inexpensive enough to the point where it makes sense to swap out your console every 2 years or whatever, like that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, does that interest you at all? Like this S model just for the 4K business, or like for me, it's like, why would I do that? Why wouldn't I just wait for the 2017 Scorpio one that's supposed to be like more powerful than all the current consoles? Like, why?
Yeah, honestly, guys, like I'm 100% PC now. Like, I didn't even renew. I tried to not renew my Xbox Live subscription. I don't own a PlayStation. I have very little interest in console gaming at this point. I'm like, if it's not on my PC, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of where
just
I'm
me
at.
Now. Yeah, yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I'm kind of like, there's some exclusives I just don't, you know, I just have to play or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm the same. I don't. And by the way, you said, I don't want to skip over this too quick. You said tried to cancel your Xbox Live subscription.
Yeah.
It is a huge pain in the ass. Oh God,
really? It auto renewed and I was like, no, I wasn't planning on resubscribing. It's and then I tried to cancel it and it was like, well, you can cancel it, but it's going to be alive for the next year anyway. Or something like there was something stupid and I was like, well, F it, whatever.
It is so hard. Even when I got a human being on the line trying to do that once, it was just the biggest joke. In fact, for all I know, I'm still paying. I don't even know. I don't even have an Xbox One. I haven't plugged a 360 in months. I don't know what's happening with that. That's money I could spend on, I don't know, drugs or whatever.
Or whatever.
Quick, come up with another.
I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't think of anything. Oh, or Steam games. There you go. But I'm totally with you. So it does. But see, this is the problem. A lot more people are with you, but not just PC people. Like a lot of gamers. Like mobile has disrupted gaming in a way that we have yet to grapple with. It has come in and said, you know, that giant casual market that would just buy Madden and Call of Duty and whatever, they're kind of content with a billion games on their phones and their tablets. And that's a huge market. And, you know, they don't say this on stage, but when EA did their press conference, they were talking about all their Star Wars properties. And the one was this mobile game that's doing really well. And it occurred to me that easily made more money. That one mobile game with all its stupid microtransactions made more money than everything else they had up on stage. And so it's just undeniable the impact. And so what do console makers have to do? They have to figure out a way to improve the cycle. They can't be just 8-year dinosaurs that just wait until the very end and then come out with something new. So I'm all for this. I think this is an interesting way for it all to go. But I'm like you. I'm like, I got my PC and it's playing all the shit I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I got with the new. Set, yeah. I'm in the new Witcher expansion. I'm happy. There's so much content. I'm like good to go. That game is going to end eventually. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. Probably go back to Skyrim.
Yeah, and enhanced Skyrim edition, right? Coming on up for you. And I heard there was some rumor that if you already owned the the Game of Year edition or whatever, which I think I do. I don't know how I do, but I do because I had the old version too. But anyway, if you own those, that you'll get a cheaper version. Like the enhanced will be cheap, which is kind of cool. And again, PC players are used to getting kind of deals like this. I paid $10 less for Overwatch on the PC, and I paid 10 more for the console version. So anyway, PCs, man, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
Well, there you go. What was your topic? I didn't mean to take it over completely.
Game developer Barbie.
Yeah. All right. Well,
this was better.
I feel like that's all we needed to know, that there was a game developer Barbie.
Game developer Barbie is pretty good. And I don't appreciate a male journalist commenting on her outfit choices.
Oh, geez.
Really?
Because she can wear whatever the hell she wants.
That's right.
Because that's how game developers really are. They can wear whatever they want, and they don't fit into one category, and they can look how they want and dress how they want and have whatever tchotchkes they want at their desk.
That's right. That is so right. I couldn't think of a more right thing to say. Holy crap. Are people really talking? Is that a discussion topic for people?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a thing happening right now, but it's fine.
They can eat ostrich poo for all I care, those people.
For all they care. They make the games. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who gives a shit?
Who gives a hoot?
Veronica Ann Belmont, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with all your bots, and good luck with Geralt of Rivendell or wherever the hell he's from.
Geralt of Rivendell.
and thanks
that's
for
a joke
me.
You've made before.
I think I am. I didn't mean to do that.
What, Brian? Thanks for saving me $10 a month. I just canceled my Xbox Live subscription.
Oh my gosh, it worked.
Oh no.
Well done.
Somewhere Major Nelson is like, Belmont.
Yeah, he's going to get you. He's going to hunt you down. He knows where you live. All right, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Our best to Bodega. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. All right. Hey, I didn't know I was going to do the segment today. I basically did today's video game segment. That was fun.
Oh, good. Yeah. There you go.
Well, next time Veronica's out of town, I'll just do it. I'll just take care of it.
You pooped, basically, is what you just did.
I did poop. Hey, look at this. We got some emails from people, various people who listen to the show. And how do I know that?
Send and receive email.
Because that clip just played.
That guy explained it perfectly.
It's a love the show, though, from somebody I don't have a name for, but says this. Good morning, Scott and Brian. So a couple of shows back, I'm always behind a couple of shows. You mentioned that you don't know anyone who doesn't like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I just had to email in because I personally love the movie, but my mom and sister couldn't stand the movie, and they even left the theater before it was over because they couldn't stand it any longer. Love the show, though.
Mm.
Sorry I didn't get your name. I don't know why it wasn't in the email, but
how do your mom and sister survive without a heart? I don't understand how they're able to walk around among us without a heart.
What's it like floating in that darkness and having no... real.
We're kidding. We love you. Yeah. Whoever you are.
Whoever your parents are, don't send us all caps tweets.
That's right.
another email from Joe the pilot. Some correction here about flying and stuff, because I often make comments that are bald-faced stupidity. So here's what he says. Hey, I just heard you all talking on TMS about the new Uberfly. Honestly, love the name you made up. Should be a logo of the U with wings or something. Anyway, Scott, I love you and an old man Johnson neighbor. I love you like an old man Johnson neighbor screaming at the kids to get inside and play Overwatch instead of hitting baseballs at the park. I'm a proud frog panther. Please don't forget that, quote, an airplane is an autonomous vehicle. Many of them fully believe it. So don't tell them that.
Right.
Sentence
is written kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. But I know what he's talking about because I've made the comment that the aeronautics and planes are often very automated, which is kind of true.
Right.
He says the autopilot can do some amazing things these days and future ones may replace them. He says, then I'll become a professional podcaster with a show called The Morning Dump, which is great. But it's cruise control more than anything else. I love computers, but they give up when the going gets tough. I don't take manual control in some uncommon situations. The computer gives it up and hands it back to me. Meaning the computer's like, oh, shit, here, go, human, take it. Anyway.
too much, can't do it.
I'm too fat. Stay on target. I'm too fat. Anyway, you may already know this. I think your point was probably don't fear the computers, kids. Hollywood makes stuff up just in case. I am working hard up there with other pilots, and that's with or without an autopilot on. I'm catching up on all the podcasts. Can't wait for more good times. Joe the pilot. Well, it's good to hear the perspective of a pilot. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I don't want a plane where there's nobody up front.
Gosh, no.
I'm just trying to say, when people go, oh, automated cars, we're all going to die. No, you're going to die a lot less, because the way cars are right now, you're killing 30,000 of us a year or something because you're bad drivers. Mm-hmm. And me too. Everyone. All of us.
Right. But Terminator.
Don't forget Terminator. we're going to terminate this show. Before we do, though, a quick mention of some business at the bottom of the show. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go support us. Thank you, everyone who does. If you haven't yet, please consider it. This streamed every day at alphageekradio.com. Big thanks to them. And diamondclub.tv. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Email your comments, thoughts, stories, whatever to themorningstream@gmail.com. And you can call us and leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. Boy, that was a mouthful.
It was.
I think that's it. Tomorrow, what's tomorrow? Tuesday. We got the normal Tuesday stuff.
Brian, we got Jury. We got Bill.
Jury's been in Vegas all weekend for a wrestling event.
Right. He's been hanging with Mitzula and been seeing the tweets.
Yeah. And his rambling, drunk, smoking Snapchats as well. Those have been great.
Those I haven't seen.
Yeah. They're pretty gnarly. They go on for a while. I'm just warning you. But that's all very exciting. So check in tomorrow for a full day of that. All right, Brian, let's get out of here. You got some music for us?
I do. This one goes out to Chris. Well, technically, it goes out to Adam. Chris wrote and said, "This is a birthday request for Adam. He requested a song for me on my birthday, and hearing on TMS made my day. Unfortunately, Adam will be spending his birthday this year on jury duty. I'm sure he'll be listening to TMS while he waits to be called up. Thanks for the show, though, Chris."
All right. Ooh.
Jury duty.
Nice.
Hey, you'll get paid. You'll get like, maybe $12-$13 that you can use for a sandwich.
Yeah, or parking at the convention center.
Parking at the convention center, exactly.
Yep.
The request is an interesting Metallica cover or Metallica covering someone else. To be honest, I don't give a shit. Will Scott find that sound file in time?
Will I, though? Hold on.
Piece of shit!
Bullshit!
Hey, man, I'm slinging Mad Volume and Fat Stack and Benji's. You know what I'm saying? I can't be all about, like, spelling and shit.
I can't find it.
Sorry. Oh, shit, that one, I think, is good enough.
All right.
This, it's funny. This is a band I played last week on Coverville, a band called Shell, S-H-E-L. This is a single they released as part of a Kickstarter project that they did. Pledge Music album that they did. The whole album is fantastic. And it's all originals. This is the only cover that I've got from them. But no, I take that back. I have a couple covers, but this is the only cover that came as part of that Pledge Music project. These guys are fantastic. From, associated with their new album, this is Shell and Enter Sandman.
This is super cool, you guys. I heard this earlier and I fell in love with it. Here it is. We'll be back we'll be back tomorrow, not in a minute. See you tomorrow, everybody. Not today, tomorrow.
Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son, to include everyone. Tuck you in, warm within, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman comes. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit light into night. Take my hand. We're off to never, never land. Something's wrong. Shut the light. Heavy thoughts tonight. Snow White. Dreams of war, dreams of lies, dreams of dragons, fire, and of things that bite. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit light, enter night. Take my hand.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
This is especially good for macho cats.